If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. You'll be glad to know that 655 people answered the roll call to study God's Word together in the Sunday School Hour last Lord's Day. The first two Sundays of June have been remarkable days here at Worth Baptist Church as we enter upon our summer season of spiritual renewal. Summertime is revival time at Worth Baptist, and evidences of revival are all through the services and in the entire program and ministry of this great church. How we do praise the Lord for the victories that have been ours thus far in the summer of 76. In this bicentennial year, we have been praying that God would send a spiritual awakening to America. With all the corruption that's in Washington, with all of the unrest that's in our nation, with the corruption in politics, in government, in education, and in religion, we are of the persuasion that the greatest need in America today is a spiritual awakening. We believe that God wants to revive America. We believe that God wants to do something very wonderful for our country. But there is a condition that we must meet, and that condition is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 at verse 14. We here at Worth Baptist Church and many hundreds of churches throughout the nation, under the auspices of the World Baptist Fellowship, have adopted this verse as our golden text, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We're asking the membership of Worth Baptist Church to memorize that verse and to quote it every day. We'd like for you to join with us in this effort. Take the Bible and memorize 2 Chronicles 7:14. Write it down on a 3x5 card and place it in front of you where you'll see it several times a day. Read it, quote it, and then pray that God will send a spiritual awakening to America. I am sure that you would agree with us that America needs to be shaken from center to circumference, that America needs a revival as we've never needed a revival before. So we're asking you to join with us in prayer in the bicentennial year that God will send a revival to America. I'd like further to ask you to drop us a card this week and let us know that you too are praying for revival. We're not asking you to contribute anything. We're not asking you to join anything. We will not solicit you for funds. We only want to know that you have a concern for a revival in America. So just write on a card, "I am praying for revival," and send it to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas, 76119. We would like to take this opportunity to welcome you to visit with us in our services today. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. The Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church has but one textbook, and that is the Bible. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level, where the Word of God will be taught today. Our current series of lessons in the Sunday School Hour is entitled Highlights in the Book of the Revelation. Today our lesson will be Revelation chapter 13, the two beasts. Who are they? Where do they come from? What will they do? And what will be their final doom? These are some of the questions that you'll find the answer to as you study the Revelation 13 with us in our Sunday School Hour today at 10 o'clock. Our morning worship hour begins at 11, and our Sunday evening worship service is at 7. All of these services have been planned to meet your spiritual needs. We invite you to come and share with us revival time during the summertime here at Worth Baptist Church. We are making plans in the very near future to begin construction on our new plant, our new church facilities, located on the beautiful 14-acre site adjoining the properties of the Fort Worth State School and near the Tarrant County Junior College of the South Campus on Campus Drive and Loop 820. We'll be able to make the announcement in just a few weeks for the groundbreaking ceremony and the beginning of that construction. Meanwhile, at our present address, 3309 Wilbarger Street, we shall look for you to visit with us today. Remember the address, 3309 Wilbarger Street. Our mailing address, Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. These two special announcements on June the 27th through July 4th, that's Sunday, June 27th through Sunday, July 4th, we will be having a week of prayer. This week of prayer extends throughout the entire constituency of the World Baptist Fellowship. Some 1,000 churches will be joining together in the World Baptist Fellowship praying for America, praying for our nation, praying for revival. We would like for you to join with us during that week. In any schedule that you want to set, just pray each day during the week, June 27th through July 4th. And then on Sunday, July 4th, we have our annual God and Country Day. In the bicentennial year, this should be the greatest July 4th in America's history. Coming on Sunday as it does, it provides churches all over the nation to have special services. Here at Worth Baptist Church, we're doing just that. We have two very important, very special guests who will be with us on Sunday, July 4th, our God and Country Day. Mrs. Barbara Law, one of the outstanding soloists in America, will be singing during all the services on Sunday, July 4th, and Mr. John Nyland, a former player with the Dallas Cowboys, will be here to give his testimony of what Jesus Christ means to him. You'll not want to miss it. We're expecting 1,000 people on Sunday, July 4th, here at Worth Baptist Church. And I trust that you'll make your plans to be with us on that special day. Again, we invite you to write us. If you would like a cassette copy of today's message, simply send your name and address to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And again, if you would care to just write us even without your name and address and tell us you're praying for revival, we hope that you'll do that. Just a postcard to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, One of God's Days. I'm going to read to you from the book of Acts, chapter 17. Perhaps you could get your Bible now. I want you to look at two verses, verses 30 and 31, in the book of Acts, chapter 17. And before I read these verses, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for Thy days of action. We thank Thee for this day of opportunity to proclaim the gospel. We pray now that the Holy Spirit might lead and guide and direct in these matters. I pray, Heavenly Father, that Thou wouldst bless every listener, bless the shut-in, the senior citizens, those in the rest homes, and those who have particular needs today. Some who are traveling through our city, some who are visiting our city. Bless them as they share with us in these moments of gospel broadcasting. And then, Father, we would offer a prayer for our city, for our mayor, for our city fathers, for our county commissioners, for our state, for our governor, for our senators and representatives, for our president, for our nation. Send revival to America. Oh, God, we pray that Thou wouldst move in the hearts of Americans. We pray that America would be spared the awesome judgment. We pray that America might be revived. It is our prayer for the bicentennial year. Revive America, lest we perish. This is our prayer, and these are our petitions, and we ask them all in the name of Jesus Christ, Thy Son and our Savior, and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now, in the book of Acts, chapter 17, at verse 30, we read, And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now this is a part of Paul's sermon on Mars Hill. I'm calling the message, One of God's Days. My friend, God always has and always will work according to His own divinely scheduled timetable. God works according to His calendar. I read in Galatians 4:4, But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. You see, God is not a day early. God is never a day late. God is always on time. And God has His own timetable. And one of God's days, God is going to do what He's already decreed that He would do. Nobody can counsel with God. No one can advise God. No one can tell God what to do. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. He's from everlasting to everlasting, world without end. In the beginning, God, says the Bible. God is the creator, and God is the sustainer, and God is the consummator of all things, and He today is working according to His own divine schedule. What about your program of life, my friend? Does it fit into God's program? Are you trying it on your own? Are you trying to get by? Are you trying to plan and plot and program your life without God's help? That's a mistake. You are destined for failure and trouble and trial and burden and finally an eternity in darkness and blackness of an everlasting lake of fire unless you have Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's look at three of God's days under the heading One of God's Days. First, Paul speaks of the day of ignorance. He said the times of this ignorance God winked at. Now, Paul was talking about the day before Christianity had gotten a foothold in Europe and ultimately in the world. He was talking basically about that day before Jesus Christ came. Before Christ came, the world lay in darkness. There was superstition. There was a horror and a dread of every day because the world was in total ignorance and total darkness. But my friend, one day Jesus Christ came and brought light to the world. He brought learning and understanding. He brought salvation and grace and mercy and peace and everlasting life. Jesus Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. In Acts 4:12 it is written, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You see, the world was in darkness, and now the world has the light of life because the world has the knowledge that Jesus Christ, the light of God, has come into a dark world and brought everlasting life. So the day of ignorance is past. Then there's the second day, and Paul calls this a day of repentance. Now, to repent means not just to say, I'm sorry. A lot of people are sorry. They're sorry they got caught. But my friend, repentance is a godly sorrow. Repentance is an about-face. Repentance is a change in your attitude, in your thinking toward God, toward yourself, and toward sin. Isaiah 55:6-7 says, Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. It is as though you were walking in one direction and turn and walk in another. This is repentance. Notice five things about repentance. First, the authority of God commands it. In my text, Acts 17:31, God hath appointed a day in which. Now, before that day of judgment comes, there's got to be a day of repentance. And God now, by His own authority, commands, the Bible says, all men everywhere to repent. Not only does the authority of God command repentance, but secondly, the goodness of God leads to repentance. Paul writes in Romans 2:4, Despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Then, in the third place, the grace of God grants repentance. We read in the book of Acts, in chapter 11, at verse 18, "When they heard these things, they held their peace, and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." You see, the authority of God commands it. That's first. Second, the goodness of God leads to repentance. Third, the grace of God grants repentance. Fourth, the patience of God waits for repentance. I read in 2 Peter 3:8, "God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and live." Now, it is God's will that all men live. It is God's long-suffering and God's patience that waits for you today. If you and I had our just deserts, we would already be in hell. But the patience of God is waiting now for you to come and for you to repent of your sins and for you to confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and call upon the name of the Lord. Why, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Then, in the fifth place, the love of God rejoices over repentance. It is written in Luke 15:7, "I say unto you, there shall be joy in heaven over one sinner." Did you get that? One sinner, just one sinner, just simply you, over one sinner who needeth repentance more than over 99 just people who need no repentance. So, my friend, when you as a sinner repent, there is joy in heaven. Let me repeat those five things about repentance. In this day of repentance, five things. One, the authority of God commands it, Acts 17:31. Two, the goodness of God leads to it, Romans 2:4. Three, the grace of God grants it, Acts 11:18. Four, the patience of God waits for it, 2 Peter 3:8. And five, the love of God rejoices over it, Luke 15:7. Now, my friend, the day of repentance is today. This is the day that you need to repent. There is no other way for you to have peace in your heart and to have forgiveness of sin but to repent. And now God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And that brings me to Paul's third day that he speaks of in my text, and that is a day of judgment. Listen again. The times of this ignorance, that's the day of ignorance, that is a day past, that day is gone since Christ came. The times of this ignorance God looked over, or God winked at, but now commandeth, not suggested. You see, God doesn't suggest what you ought to do. God commands you to repent. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That's the day of repentance. And thirdly, because He hath appointed a day in the which He shall judge the world. That is the day of judgment. Now, let's consider the judgments of God. First, there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. In the book of 2 Corinthians 5:10, Paul writes to Christians, this is what he says, listen carefully, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in our body, whether they be good or bad." Every born-again believer, every child of God, every Christian, listen to me, Christian, you can ignore God's day today if you want to. You can keep God's money and close God's book and shun God's house. But, my friend, you are going to meet God on that, because the Bible says that you, as a believer, as a born-again one, as a Christian, you will appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of your life upon the earth. The second day of judgment is the day of the judgment of the nations. It is written in Matthew chapter 25 and in verse 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Then shall He set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And to them on the left hand shall he say, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. My friend, that Bible is simply saying to you that every nation under the shining sun is going to be judged. America is going to be judged. Washington, for all of her sin and all of her corruption and all of her sex scandals and all of her money scandals, Washington and America are going to be judged. One day, this nation must stand before God and before Jesus Christ and be judged on two things. One, how it treats Israel. That's why I say that America must stand with Israel in the Middle East conflict. And two, America must give an account of how she's treated Jesus Christ, God's nation and God's Son. Every nation will give an account how they've treated these two. Then there is another day of judgment. The Bible calls it the Great White Throne Judgment. And John says, And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, because there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever, are you listening, my friend? And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let me ask you a question. Is your name written there? Not on the Baptist church roll, not on the Methodist church or the Church of Christ, or the Episcopalian, or the Lutheran, or the Catholic, but is your name written in the book of life? If not, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone forever and ever. Is your name written there on the page bright and fair? Is your name written there? I have this footnote and I shall be through. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow may never come. The only day that you have is today, and today is God's day of salvation. I trust that you'll call upon the Lord right now by your radio. Repent of your sins. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and this moment you'll be saved. May I say again as we leave the broadcast, we would like to hear from you by mail this week. If you'd like a copy of today's lesson or today's message on cassette tape, write and send your name and address, that's all, to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. The tape will be sent you free and postage paid. All you need to do is write. Then may I invite you again to come and visit with us in our services today at Worth Baptist Church. Now that we leave the broadcast, we want to wish you well and the blessings of God upon your family, upon your home, upon your own individual life. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.